Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to share this morning, it's going to be a relatively short message, okay? You know, I once heard it say that very often pastors continue speaking even after they're finished, you know, which is so often. You know, I've heard it a million times. You know, really in the first 10 minutes, you've gotten your point across. But now they go on and on. All right. You know, so I hope not to do that this morning. You know, but I'm going to be sharing from a psalm of David. You know, David has prayed so many prayers, and many of them are in his psalms. But before I do it, I want to lay kind of a foundation for what I want to share. And I want to use, maybe kind of paint a scenario in your mind. Let's say you had a job in this corporation, an office job, and you had a need that you needed. Now, can you picture yourself going to your boss and saying, you know, Mr. President, I so appreciate this business of yours that I have the privilege of working in, and I know that your father started this business way back in the late 1880s, and he worked tirelessly and relentlessly and sacrificially and selflessly to build this building, I mean this corporation, to the corporation that it is. And then he handed it down to you, and you in like manner also worked relentlessly to continue to build it. And now you have hundreds of employees working for you, and you treat us so well, and we have pension plans and 401ks and health benefits, and you care for each and every one of your employees. So I want to thank you for all of that. And do you think it's possible I could get a new stapler? Now, would you do that? I mean, really. Why am I saying this? So often we complicate prayers. Have you ever, and maybe even been guilty to a small degree yourself, gone before the Lord in prayer, or heard someone else going before the Lord in prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, King of the universe, creator of all that is, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who created the light and the darkness and the oceans and the dry land and every creature that walks on the face of the earth, and from the dust of the earth you created man and breathed your breath of life into him. And we sinned, and you sent your son to come and die for us so we could have a way out of this mess that we're in. And we look to you because you're omniscient, you're omnipotent, you know everything, you're all over, you're everything. Can you help this young lady who has the flu? Come on, we snicker, right? But have you heard that? Isn't it true? We complicate. Let me tell you something. God knows who he is. He really does. He really doesn't need you reminding him of who he is. But we get carried away sometimes. Somehow we must think subconsciously that the more we pray, the longer we pray, the more eloquently we pray, that we're going to impact God and we're going to affect him, and we're going to change his mind or something like that because of the eloquence or the longevity of our prayer. I want to share a portion of scripture with you, and you can follow along if you'd like, in Matthew chapter 6. All right, for this I'm going to need my glasses. And I'm going to begin in verse 1. And you'll recognize this portion of prayer. It says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Simple, straightforward, to the point. Acknowledge he's your Father. He deserves all the glory. Recognize the fact that his will is being done and will be done both in heaven and on earth. And then ask him for provision. Give us what I need for today. Help me to get along with everybody, forgive them, and keep me from the enemy. Simple, straightforward, to the point. Amen? Now turn with me to Psalm 12, Psalm of David, Psalm 12. Short psalm, not very often read, not very often quoted, very simple and straightforward and to the point. Here's David's prayer. Help, Lord! That's basically the prayer. He says, help, Lord, for godly men cease. The faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. For the wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. David was living in a very wicked time. Faithless men, he said, ungodly men, speaking evil and ill of their neighbors, gossiping, relentless, unholy. And he just cried out, help, Lord, help, help. Short, short prayer, but it's a perfect prayer. Perfect, it's to the point. David saw the faithlessness of people. You see it today? the so much faithlessness. I don't believe in God. I shared a little bit at our graduation the other night for the school. You know what? It doesn't matter what you believe. Somehow in our foolish thinking, we think if we believe something, it must be true. That's the truth. You know what? Truth isn't based on what you believe. You can believe whatever you want. You know, you share with somebody about God and say, but I don't believe that. Well, what do you think? So that means it's not true? Because you don't believe it? As I've shared a million times, truth is still truth even if nobody believes it. And a lie is still a lie even if everybody believes it. Truth is not determined by what you believe. Truth is determined by what God says it is, whether you believe it or not. You know, when you see the condition of the world and what's going on, basically, basically pretty much what all we can really do right now is say, help, Lord, help. We need you to intervene. You know, he evidently must have felt that helplessness, David. That's why he cried out for help. But you see, at the same time, you have to understand, when you ask for help, for example, last Sunday was Father's Day, right? Yeah, last Sunday was Father's Day. We had the whole family over. You know, we had like a barbecue in the backyard. So we had tables, you know, set up and this and that. And when it was over, you know, I'd go to one of my sons, you know, can you help me put this table away? Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to stand over here and you kick the table and put it away. No, it means I'm going to grab one end and you're going to grab the other. Help indicates you're still participating in the process. So when you say, help, Lord, doesn't mean now you stand back and say, get him. No, it's inferring that you're going to have an active part in what the Lord is going to do. You understand? So when you cry help, isn't an excuse or a release of some kind for you to just now take a back seat. I gave it to the Lord. It's all in his hand. Two words, which carry much more weight than some of the long ramblings of some prayers. I want to look at something. You know, it says in Matthew 6, verse 7, we read it, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they'll be heard for their many words. They think that, you know, the more we go on and on and on and on and on. Oh, who's that talking to me down there? No. God's arm is not short. He's not deaf. He's not hard of hearing. He hears you the second you come into his presence and begin to call out. David ran straight to his God with a very well thought out prayer. He knew what he needed, and he knew where to go to get it. Amen? Amen. That's how we should look at it. Lord, teach us to pray in that same way. No, we sometimes, and please don't get me wrong what I'm about to say. We so complicate prayer sometimes. We have to have prayer breakfasts, nights of prayer, weeks of prayer, months of prayer, all established and programmed, and there's nothing wrong with all of those things. But really, what it comes down to, prayer is nothing more than really communication. It's communication between you and God. You don't have to go to a prayer breakfast or be a participant in the night of prayer. You know, I sometimes, and I have to admit, my wife even gets a little frustrated with me. I gotta admit, I'm sorry, I gotta tell. Because my prayers are about 5 or 6 seconds long. You know, maybe one of our grandchildren are going through something, you know, we need to pray for them. Lord, Dallas has a problem. Would you help him with it? All right, what are we going to have for dinner? Really? Really? Really, when you think about it, what else do I have to say? Really? Do I have to now remind God of all the problems as if he doesn't know? He knew them before he got into them. He knows the answer to them. Look, and I'm not saying it. Look, you pray how you want to pray. You know, everybody's different. You know, you run into different people. Some people, you know, you just, how you doing? I'm doing good. You're doing good. I'm fine. Some people, you go, hi, how you doing? Well, let me tell you. You know, last week, and they go on for 40 minutes. Everybody's different. So maybe you need to take a long time in prayer. That's okay. That's okay. I'm just saying some of us don't. And that's okay, too. David knew. All he had to say was, help, Lord. Help, Lord. How often do you find that in your daily life there's really no one else that can help you? You know the old expression, the buck stops here. You know, I experienced that a lot, you know, between the church, between the school. There's no one else that can resolve or can deal with this issue. You have to. So you feel very lonely sometimes. The only way to get around that is to look up to God. Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom. In this particular situation, I need you to show me what I need to do, what I need to say or not say. I need your help. I can't go to somebody else. You know how they say, until you've walked a mile in somebody else's shoes? You know, so you can go to somebody and they can say, well, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea if you try this, or you say, they don't really know. Really, unless they've been in the exact situation, which does help sometimes. If you know of somebody that's gone through the exact situation you find yourself in now, there's nothing wrong with going and asking them for advice and counsel. Absolutely not. But you know, you can always go to God. If you're studying the Word, and maybe you can't understand it, you go before Him and you say, help, Lord. And His Holy Spirit will help you. And He'll guide you into all truth, because He's the teacher, isn't He? Doesn't the Word of God say He's the great teacher? Maybe you're dealing with some spiritual battles in your life. Really difficult battles. You go, help, Lord. And He sends His Holy Spirit as the counselor to speak into your life, to get you through that battle, to give you insight and wisdom, what you need to do. Maybe you're out there working in the kingdom, and whatever it is that you're doing, and you're worn, and you're tired, and you're weary, and you just need God's grace. And you pray, help, Lord. And He sends the Holy Spirit as His comforter to be there with you. You know, many people within, without the church, they have doubts. They have more questions than answers. And you pray, help, Lord. And He sends the Holy Spirit as your encourager to bring you through it, to give you victory over that. In every case, every time, every place, the best prayer, help, Lord, help. No matter what you're going through, you're sorrowing, you're suffering, you're working, help. You know, we sometimes hesitate. You know, sometimes we think we could figure everything out on ourselves. So we don't, maybe we don't mouth these words, but sometimes in our own brains and in our own hearts, it's kind of like, I got this, Lord. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble. Because you got other things to worry about. I got this. That's the last place you want to be. Amen? Cry out to Him. And you know what? The answer is certainly going to come. It may not come exactly the way you want it to come, but He will hear and He will provide help one way or another. He's assured us in that. Hasn't He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always. In Isaiah 41, He says, fear not, I will help you. I will help you. You know, the unfortunate thing is that there are many, especially outside the church, but even inside the church, that are kind of hesitant to cry out with this prayer because they've, so to speak, dirtied their feet with the world. They've been in places they shouldn't be, and now they feel unworthy to ask for God's help. You understand what I'm saying? They feel unworthy. That's where you and I come in. Because there are many who feel that way. You know, I remember a time, it's not the exact comparison, but, and I think I've shared this once before, too many years ago, it's probably 30, 35 years ago. I remember I was downstairs in the school in my office as the principal, and I had just done something very foolish. At home working in the yard or something, and man, did I hurt my back. Man, I shouldn't have done it. I knew I shouldn't have done it. I knew it was probably going to cause a problem, but I did it anyway because I'm stupid sometimes. And I'm sitting in my office, and I can't. Anybody ever have back problems? You know, it takes your breath away. You go to try and. I remember one time it was so bad, I had to go to the bank and deal with one of the officers in the bank. I sat down in the chair, and we discussed, and we did whatever we had. It was a woman, and she says, okay, we're all done. She stood up. I go to stand up. I can't get up. And I'm going. She looks, she says, you all right? I can't get up. It was the pain was so excruciating. Well, this was like that too. So I'm sitting in my office downstairs in my chair, and this is going way back. We had a brother here, Nunzio. You remember Nunzio? And he used to come down sometimes. He'd go, hey, Mr. Pag, how you doing? You know, I just, okay, Nunzio. He sits down and he says, how's everything? I says, what? Honestly, he says, my back is killing me. All right, he said, let me pray for you. I said, no. What do you mean, no? I says, I don't want you to ask God for help. He said, well, why not? I says, because I did this to myself. My stupidity did this to myself. What right do I have to ask God to help me now? So he just kind of laughed. He said, okay, you know, you don't want prayer. He says, you know. And I did. I had to suffer through it for 3, 4, 5 days till it finally went away. But sometimes when I say you've dirtied yourself with the world, maybe you've been involved in something. I don't know what. Don't let your imagination go crazy. But you're in something and you feel now unworthy to go to God. We need to try and be there to come alongside those who have stumbled in that way to restore them. You know, if they're willing. If they're repentant, obviously. You know that portion of scripture where, I remember, was it in Luke? I'm not sure. But you know, how many times should I forgive my brother? You know, 7 times? And what's it? 70 times 7. But you know what? It goes on to say, if your brother has offended you and you go to him, if he repents, forgive him. You know, he put a little qualification in there. It's very hard. It's very hard to forgive somebody who hasn't repented. Somebody who has offended you, and you go to them and they say, you say, you know, you did this and that, you really, really hurt me. And it's really upset me. I didn't do that. No, I didn't. Now you could mouth the words, well, I forgive you anyway. You know what forgiveness really is? It's not a matter of the heart or the mind or whatever. True forgiveness is no longer holding it against the person. If you still hold it against them, you haven't really truly forgiven them. You know, when you talk in finances, when you forgive a debt, it means you no longer hold that person responsible for what they owed you. Okay? If you say, I forgive you that debt, but then the next time you see them, where's my $100? You haven't forgiven them. You understand? So if people are willing and repentant, then you can come alongside them and help restore them. You see, in that upper room, when Jesus picked up that towel and washed their feet, it wasn't just an expression of humility. I mean, it was a tremendous expression of humility. The Lord himself getting down with a basin of water and a towel. And their feet got filthy walking around. Imagine walking around in those days. There were no paved roads and the dust and the dirt and sandals. You know, their feet were filthy. So he got down and washed their feet. But it wasn't just an expression of humility. It was an example of how we're to serve each other and minister to each other. That's what he was doing. He was ministering to them, especially to those who need cleansing from the dirt of the world. Those are the ones sometimes we have to get down and figuratively, you know, wash their feet. Be patient with them. Try to be understanding. Try to remember when you were there and you needed that help. You know, very often we're all too quick to judge and too slow to help when somebody's fallen. You know, say, he should have known better. Been in the church for 25 years. How could he possibly get himself involved in that? Come on. Is that really the position we should be taking? No. From now on, I pray that more of us cry out, help, Lord. Help. Not only just for ourselves, but for the times that we're living in and for those around us. You know, naturally, we're always prone to pray for our immediate family, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. You know, but we have to even go beyond that. God causes us to encounter others in this world, whether it's through your job, your neighbor, the accident you got in, a little fender bender or whatever. It could be an opportunity. It could very well be an opportunity. And you never know what you say, how it's going to impact someone. The other night, like I said, we had our graduation. And it was spur of the moment in the end, because I usually open in prayer and Pastor Di usually closes in prayer and shares, but she wasn't feeling good. So at the last moment, I said, don't worry, I'll go up and I'll take care of it. And God just gave me something to share. And I just, you know, it's nice. It's a good thing to say and whatever. But as we went downstairs, one of the young parents, the husband, he came over to me and he says, you know, what you said really impacted me. He's not really saved. He says, really? He says, you know, my kid's in the school. He knows more about God and Scripture than I do. He says, I got this book. It's called The Message. I says, that's cool. It's in, you know, common everyday language. I says, read it. He says, yeah, I studied. He says, but what you said, you don't even know it sometimes, because God is speaking through you. You don't know how many times I've shared a message like this morning, and whether it's after service or the next week or whatever, and they say, you know, Pastor, what you said last week, you know, really, I said, really, what did I say? And they said, you said this, 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 and that. And I say, I don't remember saying that. You know, there was one time it bothered me so much, I got the tape, and I listened to the tape, and I didn't say it. It was not on the tape, but that person heard it. That's what they heard. That's what they needed to hear. So you see, you know, we only think of God, the Spirit speaking through us through vain babblings and speaking in tongues and whatever. But you don't know. You could be saying one thing, and they're hearing something completely different, what they need to hear. So don't ever think, oh, I'm not eloquent. I don't know the verses. I don't know Scripture that much. You share what God has given you, what's on your heart, and He'll take care of the rest. He'll open up their ears to hear what they need to hear. I'm going to close with this one quote, very short. David Wilkerson, my wife has just been listening to him, but it had nothing to do with that. In one of his teachings many, many years ago, he simply said, are you willing to pick up the towel? Are you? Are you willing to pick up the towel as Jesus did? Humble himself, clean the dirt of the world off the feet of someone, figuratively. I'm not telling you got to go out and start washing people's feet. All right? But, you know, God didn't save us just so we could have a reserved seat, you know, in eternity. He saved us for a purpose. Now, we were all called, don't get me wrong, to different purposes. Some of us are missionaries, go out on the field. Some are evangelists, go out on the field. Some are teachers, some are preachers, you know. Some are healers, some are prophets. They all got their own calling. Recognize where your strength, where your calling is in the Lord, and then walk in it. Walk in it. Are you willing to pick up the towel? Amen? Stand with me. Help, Lord. Help. Father, we do thank you that you're an ever-present help. You're always there. Your ear is not deaf. Your hand is not short. And you're more than willing when you hear us cry out to be there to help us. So, Lord, I pray that you remind us more often than not, before we get so deep in our problem that we almost feel guilty to ask for your help. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, remind us often, daily, sometimes momentarily, to cry out to you because that's what you want to do. So, Father, we thank you for all you've done and all you're doing and all you're going to do. I pray for those that will be going this afternoon and maybe celebrating with people that have graduated, different ceremonies and parties, whatever. We thank you for each and every moment of our life. And at whatever moment we find ourselves in, may we bring you glory in it. And we'll always give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Join us in a cafe. Come on, let's have a cup of coffee.